97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Bringing a tear to my eye there, Carl Middleman, here on Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors.
It's Father's Day.
I know. And that's father and son. And if you were a Ted Lasso fan, Bo Matthews, you would recognize this song as well. That was a tear-jerking and sad end to a great TV series.
I didn't see Ted Lasso. What platform is it on, Carl?
It's on Apple Plus. Everyone that has seen Ted Lasso says it's their favorite show. So once you see it, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, it was a great show. It was a little woke for me in places, I'll have to admit. But overall, taught me more about soccer than I ever knew, to be honest with you.
And Ted.
And Ted.
I think Yellow Jackets is a series I watched. I think that was soccer players, wasn't it? Or
yes.
Maybe softball players.
Those soccer, high school soccer, female soccer team.
Did you watch it?
It's on Showtime. I have every single episode ready to watch. I'm waiting for season two to end so I can get them all.
It's so good.
They're cannibals, okay. Mark.
Cannibals?
Yes.
A female soccer team that are cannibals?
Don't say it like that.
Okay. There's a plane crash. It's a mix of Lord of the Rings and what was that show we were talking about? Not Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies.
Oh.
With
it's
women.
Survival. Uh-huh. It's survival. 18 months in the wilderness because their plane crashed. It's an epic show. We watched the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway.
And you see them as kids and then you see them as adults too.
Yeah.
We sound like... just a bunch of men just talking about programs. You know, you can tell when you're out to dinner or something with friends and stuff and you start talking about the TV shows you watch, the evening's over. I've got stuff I'm watching. I'll share with you what I'm watching. But there's nothing else to talk about. So you're like, or you get your phone out and you're like, oh, did you see this? You see this?
Yeah. You sent that to me yesterday.
Why you keep talking about me like that? Hey, Bo, by the way, I want to comment. You're looking very svelte in your new shirt that you've got on.
Well, I have to tell you. 5 weeks ago, I got sucked into one of these Facebook ads, and it was like, ooh, 2 for $29. And it's a concealed carry undergarment shirt. Like, it's almost like a compression shirt. You see how form-fitting that is?
I do see that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now watch me. Now, watch me. It is literally a pocket under each arm that you can store your firearm, and a clip over on this side of it's a semi-automatic. And it's underneath your shirt. So I would wear an overshirt over this, but I wanted to wear this. The problem is I look like Baby Huey because it's too short. But you remember Baby Huey?
There will be people cartoon? Who don't get that reference, but yes, I know Baby Huey.
It's a big duck.
Google Baby Huey, and that's kind of what I feel like. It's short, but it is a double X. But is it my fault, or is it the Chinese people that made it in China? It took 5 weeks to get here. Uh-huh. You'd get updates like... you're in customs at Sweden.
Yeah,
you're
in customs. I've done that before.
The weirdest.
But
way
I
to
will
go.
Use it. It's actually a neat
so
idea.
You've got a gun in each of those pockets right now, or just the one on the right?
No, I only have one now.
Okay, all right.
But when I got it in the mail, I did put two firearms in there, and I walked out to my wife and I said, "Do you notice anything?" She's like, "No," and so she could not see. So it's really a convenient.
Store. Turn around a little bit. Turn around once for me.
Nice butt.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, from the back, it just looks like you might have a roll of back fat or something there under your arm. You can't really.
No, I have that. I have that.
Both things can be true.
Both of those things can be true at the same time. Yeah. But here's where I think this comes in handy, and you tell me if I'm wrong. A lot of the conversations I have with people about concealed carry, particularly if they carry a little extra weight around the middle, is if you have one of those holsters that fits inside the waistband, but you have a Dunlap because your belly's Dunlapped over your waistband, that's uncomfortable, right? And you're looking for other alternatives where you might be able to conceal carry when you're wearing shorts or not a big heavy sweater to conceal it, and this may be an option.
I will say this. It's very lightweight. It's cool. It's almost like a compression shirt. But the main thing to remember is this is probably going to be a winter or a fall garment that I'll wear. I'm just not a fan of the ankle holster. And I've been learning more and more to have a kidney holster store my firearm because it's more comfortable. Because I do have the Belly Dunlap over my belt.
I wasn't judging. You gotta look at options. That's just a body style, right? I mean, some people are.
Oh no! Did you say that out loud? This is the Father's Day edition of Second Amendment Radio, The Great Outdoors. You better not edit this out, buddy.
I'm keeping it in.
Oh, Carl Middleman, that's something.
You can
else.
Send me emails.
Oh boy!
So just be careful if you're of a smaller stature person. These probably would fit you perfectly. This is a double X, and I would say if
you need a 4X,
I should have. I don't know. I've been communicating with them, and they're, I don't know. Hopefully, they have a 3X or a 4X.
Maybe there just aren't that many 4X people over in China or wherever they made that thing.
You know what? We talked about that, actually. I mean, you know, they're like,
that
hey.
Is a 2X for a Chinese man.
It could be.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, but anyway, Bo, would you wear that to our broadcast on the 30th of June? So people
well,
could
I might.
See it?
Oh, no. Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
No.
Why not? That's
why it's called concealed carry. My biggest faux pas is when I see somebody on Facebook showing their, hey, this is my new concealed carry firearm. It's like, you dumb.
I was just saying,
bring the shirt.
Telegraph that. Most people, that's the whole thing about most people concealed carry. They don't want you to know they got a gun. You don't need to know it unless there's a bad guy there, and then you're going to be glad they do.
Right. A buddy of mine's girl, she just, his significant other, she walks in the woods a lot. She goes to, you know, parks and stuff. And she wants to carry, but she, no.
No, it's not Hillary Clinton. Okay.
She wants to carry, but she, you know, when she's wearing her yoga pants or whatever, when she's out walking, there's no place to carry. And so when I came across this, she ordered hers the same day I ordered mine. And hers are still probably locked up in Sweden or something.
It could be.
But anyway,
it takes a while.
Highly recommended
stuff over here.
What was the broadcast I was talking about?
Carl mentioned this. He's a very good producer. He's Woo-hoo. Good at reminding us of what we're supposed to be talking about here. So I'm taking my show, the Mark Cox Morning Show, live to Eureka on June 30th. We'll be down there at
Friday.
Chicken Ellie's, which is a great restaurant right there on Main Street. And you can join us. We'll be there from 5 to 9 a.m. We're hoping that one Bo Matthews will get in the thought tub early that morning so that he can make it down to the broadcast. What do you think about that?
100%. I was there last year. Was it last year you were out in Eureka or two years ago?
2 years ago. It was pre-COVID, wasn't it, when we did
No,
that?
There was one after
no,
COVID.
Yeah, it was after. But anyway, yeah, no, I do have it on my calendar. If I'm not out of town traveling the world, I will definitely be there. I love the city of Eureka. I love the people of Eureka. It's just a booming community. Of course, I was at the, I work with the Chamber of Commerce out there. Man, I heard the name Mark Cox 45 times in their luncheon yesterday. I'm like, oh my gosh, is it the second coming? Is it? So
technically,
anyway,
yes.
No. Right?
Well, the Marine, we're going to be helping out with the Marine Focus Foundation. They're going to be raising money. Chicken Ellie's is going to donate a portion of their proceeds that morning to the Marine Focus Foundation. I'm going to have them on my show talking about it as well. They just do great work helping people in the military transition from military life back to civilian life. It's a fantastic charity, and I'm glad that we'll be able to support them and then see some of the great people like Chuck Mayer and of course, Mike Wiegand, the police chief down there, and Greg Brown, the fire chief. They're always great about showing up. In fact, the chief told me he's going to block off all of the streets for crowd control, just to be sure everything is secure.
Well, you're going to need it. No, I will tell you this. Sincerely, they are excited for the whole show to be coming out there and to meet Carl and to meet. Now, would Trish be on property?
She's going to be there as well.
The brains of the operation.
Trisha Everding will be there.
The whole town is excited that you're coming. You're putting the spotlight on it.
You can meet Trisha Militia. You just have to show up. That's what.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's what.
And
Ryan
Ethan,
Wiggins
our host of In Other News, will also be there.
With his phone. Will he have his phone?
He lost his phone while floating.
He took a float trip, and somehow the phone ended up at the bottom of whichever river he was floating in. So he's now in the process of having to get back and get a new phone. That's always fun, isn't it? That's true. Hey, coming up on the show today, we've got the founder of The Gentle Barn. And it's not like you might think of like a pet farm. It's where they take animals that have been abused and then they transform them into the point where they can help other people who need to recover as well. So it's a pretty amazing story, and you'll get to meet talk to Ellie Lax, who founded the whole thing. It's really a great idea, don't you think, Bo?
You know, I'll tell you, the stories that you did many years ago on Channel 4, and of the animals that were neglected and stuff like that, it always broke my heart so bad. The horses where you can see the ribs. I'll tell you what, this conversation is going to be fantastic. We're going to get to it next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Welcome back. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy that you are with us this weekend. And we want to invite someone in right now who's taken animal therapy to a new level, I think, in many ways. Ellie Lax is the co-founder of the Gentle Barn, which has been a longtime dream of hers down in Dittmer, Missouri. And Ellie, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, what is the Gentle Barn? You hatched this a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah, the Gentle Barn was my dream since I was 7 years old. Started it 24 years ago. It's a national nonprofit organization where we take in severely abused and neglected animals, restore them to health by a whole slew of methods. Once they're well, we give them sanctuary for the rest of their lives, and if and when they're ready, we partner with them to heal people with the same stories of trauma and connect people to the love and magic of animals.
Wow.
Animals are so healing. So it is open to the public, correct? Or is it a therapy place, kind of like the equine assisted therapy place?
So the Gentle Barn is open to the public every Sunday from 10 to 2, and people can come out and hug the cows, cuddle the turkeys, hold the chickens, pet the goats and sheep, hear their stories of resilience, and fall in love with animals more than they ever thought possible. During the week, we host school field trips, private tours, birthday parties, and our animal-assisted therapy program. So we have cow hug therapy, where people can find hope and healing. We have horse therapy, where people can cultivate confidence and leadership skills. And we have barnyard therapy, where people can leave their lives at the door and remember to smile and laugh and feel like kids again.
Wow. Ellie Lax, our guest, co-founder of the Gentle Barn. That's something. I mean, I've been to around farms all my life. I wasn't raised on a farm. I've found cows to be, in general, rather skittish. How do you develop these cows to the point where you can hug them?
Yeah, like any good therapist, human or cow, the secret is for any good therapist, you got to go through some really, really hard times, lose yourself, and then find yourself, heal yourself, and then take all of those lessons and pay it forward to the next person. So cows are no different. The cows that we have at the Gentle Barn have been rescued from severe abuse, neglect, and trauma. They come into the Gentle Barn and they're put through a very extensive rehabilitation program where they learn to forgive and trust and find joy again. And then and only then, when they're fully trusting, loving, and joyous, then most of them choose to become incredible therapists where they're giving all of their wisdom and nurturing to someone else.
Wow. So that's what you mean when you say, if they're ready. Like, how do you know when they're ready?
Because they choose it. When our animals at the Gentle Barn are ready, they will approach people. They'll beckon people to interact with them. The cows will lay down, and when people sit by their sides, they'll wrap their necks around them and hold them. The turkeys will fall asleep in people's laps. They step up to the plate when they're ready to do this work.
Ellie, I have to know, what gave you this dream?
You know what? When I was a child in Chesterfield, Missouri, in St. Louis, I had struggles of my own. I was lonely. I didn't fit in. I suffered from depression. And it was always animals that healed me. And so when I was 7 years old, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to have a big place full of animals. I'm going to show the world how beautiful they are. And all the struggling people of the world can come in and heal with us.
I have to tell you that I was a pretty lonely kid. I, you know, of course, I wanted my sister that was 3 years older than me to be my best friend, but she was off chasing boys or whatever. I had stuffed animals. I had, like, you know, a little fort, and I had all my little stuffed animals. And I think this is what got me into radio, talking to myself in a room, in a padded room, no less. And I'm being serious, but animals, for some reason, are so healing. And I got a buddy that's got an old dog that's about ready to, gotta, you know, go off to the Rainbow Bridge, and it's so sad. But animals just love unconditionally, and I would guess it would, you know, be in the horse and the donkey and the pigs, and they would all do that if handled correctly. My daughter in Texas, Mark, I've talked to you about her before. Jennifer lives down in the Grapeland area. She FaceTimed me the other day, and it was a random call, wasn't planned. And this look of horror on her face, I'm like, oh no, what happened? Something happened to the girls. And her significant other brought her a baby cow that wouldn't attach to the teat of the mother. And so her significant other brought this cow into the house and gave it to her, because they have kind of a little farm going. And I mean, I had no idea she had this love of cows. She's got cow motif stuff everywhere. It was just so emotional. So I would bet, Ellie, that you have so much emotion flowing out there at the Gentle Barn on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. And animals, I mean, they're always here for us, right? And just like you said, they give us unconditional love. They don't judge us. They accept us. They look at us and mirror back to us that we're lovable and wanted. But I think even more than that, I think animals are always there to, for us to feel like the best versions of ourselves when we're with them.
Wow. Wow. It's pretty impressive. And I was looking at your website, Ellie. And so I don't know if you do this at the Gentle Barn or if you do other things privately when it comes to your counseling, but you will do animal communication readings. Is that correct for people?
Yeah, I'm actually an animal communicator, and I speak to animals all over the world and help their people understand them better.
No kidding. I mean, explain that to me, like Dr. Doolittle kind of stuff, or what is it exactly?
Well, pretty much, and it's basically intuition. So have you ever had the experience where the phone rings and you know who it is without answering?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's just basic intuition. So animal communication is just an expansion of that same intuition, where when you clear your mind and ask a question and sit in the stillness and the quiet till the answer comes and then trust the answer when it comes, that's basically animal communication. And I can help with health issues, behavioral issues, find lost animals, talk to animals that have passed away and relay memories and messages to their people. And it's very, very healing, because like you said, our animals mean so much to us. And when they pass away, especially, and we think they're gone forever, I mean, that's a special kind of grief and pain right there. But when we can reconnect to them, it's healing.
You know, Bo, the other day, I was talking to my golden retriever, and my wife looked at me and said, if she answers you, let me know. Like, I think people do that all the time. And my wife's a bit of a smart aleck anyway. And my dog has never answered me, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are probably wondering, what are they thinking? Is that the kind of stuff you're able to help people with?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a great app you got to download to your phone, Mark. Yeah. It's called My Talking Pet. And it's so simple. You can take a still photo of your dog and you can put a voice to it and move the mouth and everything. It's fantastic. I did it years ago.
I don't think that's what Ellie's doing here. Go ahead, Ellie. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Well, animals talk to me in videos, pictures, and words. So we speak like that too. We just have lost that. We don't remember that we can do that. But all animals on this planet speak. Have you ever seen a school of fish? And they're moving completely simultaneously. It's not like there's a leader and everyone else is following.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly seen video of that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's intuition. It's like they're of the same mind and moving at the same time because they have the same 100%. Thoughts at the same time. So it's kind of like that. You know, I get a picture of an animal. I know their name, gender, age, and who they live with. And then I get to have conversations with them. And they show me their answers in pictures. It's really fun.
I've got a little pond with fish in it, and it's so weird. You know, I'll put catfish food out there, whatever. But when the food hits the water, all of them will splash at the same time. It's like, how did that fish text that fish over there? I will tell you this about the gentle barn, though. The safety measures are put in place that none of these animals will ever be eaten because they're all named. There's a rule you're supposed to never name an animal that you're going to consume, but they're all named. So there's safety in that.
Yeah, these animals are safe forever. We value them much more alive than being eaten. And by the way, do you remember several years ago there were 6 cows that escaped a slaughterhouse and ran through the streets of St. Louis?
I do, yes. You have some of those?
Oh, yeah.
We are home to those cows.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how we started the gentle barn, because those cows, nobody would come and help those cows, and everybody wanted them to live. People were calling us in California. So we got them out of the slaughterhouse. We found a property, opened a gentle barn for them. They were so terrified of everything and everyone, and now those cows do extraordinary work for people, for grief, depression, anxiety, loneliness. People come to see them every single day for our cow hug therapy programs, and they restore people to health and wellness. It's beautiful.
So I'm going to guess, and I'm married to a vegetarian, but are you a vegetarian?
I'm vegan, yeah.
Okay. No, I'm married to a vegetarian. Believe me, I believe I'm here today because I've eaten healthier in the 23 years we've been together. But when people come out on Sunday, when you're open to the public, which I think is awesome because, you know, people are always looking to get out. Do you have concessions? Do you sell funnel cakes? Do you, you know, do that kind of stuff? Kettle corn?
We do. We have a very delicious vegan hot dogs. We have all kinds of snacks and drinks, and people can gather at our picnic tables and spend time with their families. It's lovely.
Because I'm married to a vegetarian, have you ever had a carrot brat?
I have. They're surprisingly good. I did not think I was going to like it.
Mark is laughing right now. Buddy, I'm going to give you a taste test because the texture is amazing to a regular brat. It is.
Sounds like an impossible burger to me.
No, it's a carrot brat.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that.
If you put it in the casing, you can't tell.
Ellie, how can people find out more about the Gentle Barn? Do they go to your website? Where would you like to send them?
Yeah, please come to gentlebarn.org and find out how to visit, donate to support our work, see what we're up to, and people can also follow the Gentle Barn on all social media platforms, including YouTube.
Very cool.
That's great.
Ellie Lax, thank you so much for giving us some time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Come on out and hug a cow. We'd love to have you.
All right. Good deal. Thank you very much.
Get away from me, Mark. Get away from me.
Bo, you're
too
killing
funny.
Me.
Ellie, thank you. Thank you so much. Good luck to you out there, okay?
Thank you.
Very
that
good.
Is the great outdoors portion of this program on Second Amendment Radio.
Now,
oh, man.
Bo Matthews, you told me that vegetarian was an Indian word for bad hunter. I know I heard
you told me that, brother. It's pretty amazing what my wife can whip up in the kitchen as a vegetarian. I mean, she's always trying new recipes. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the carrot brat thing hit us a couple of years ago. And I literally did a taste test, and it was like, you know, my eyes are closed. I really can't tell the difference.
My wife went through a brief period.
A phase.
She went through a brief phase where she was trying to make the family eat healthier. And I sat down one day. I grilled hamburgers, and we come in, and we sit down at the table, and I see, oh, boy, one of my comfort foods, mashed potatoes in the middle of the table. And I scooped a big scoop up, and I put it on my plate, and I noticed it didn't seem to have the same consistency that I was used to with mashed potatoes. But I'm thinking maybe they're just a little watered down or something. And I take a bite of this stuff, and it's like cauliflower mashed potato. It's supposed to emulate mashed potatoes, but it's cauliflower.
They have pizza crust that do
and
that too.
I know it's not a vegetarian thing. No, I know they're both vegetables, but I'm just didn't sit well with me. I looked at her and goes, that was a dirty trick. Can I just tell you that?
Yes.
If I found a carrot brat, I would think the same thing, Bo Matthews.
We're gonna do it, buddy. I'm gonna fire up the grill. No. I'm gonna test you.
No. All right. Coming up, we're going to get back to the Second Amendment portion of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We're going to talk to the Gun Owners of America. Couple of big cases, and particularly some rulings on pistol braces that we want to get cleared up. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Is right there. Yeah, buddy. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And if you're hearing the show before Father's Day, I would say get to Razorback Armory, the gun concierge. It's in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Get Dad a gift card or get him a cleaning kit or get him some ammo. He'll love that. Get them into Razorback Armory as soon as you possibly can. Tell them Bo sent you in. All right, we've got a returning guest here to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, because we've spoke about the Great Outdoors portion of the program already. Aiden Johnston returns. He's a St. Louis native and the Director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America. And we've got a lot to talk about because they're coming in hot after pistol braces. Aiden, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Talk to me about where we're at on the pistol braces. And, you know, I know Texas is making the most noise against it. Is it a national fight, if you will?
Yes. So GOA filed a lawsuit alongside Texas, and we got an injunction, but it only applies to GOA members and employees of the state of Texas. So we're fighting to have that expanded to be a national injunction. I think that's really important. There are actually four other injunctions, and groups like the National Rifle Association are just now filing lawsuits to try to get their members protected as well. So it is all hands on deck. Every group is fighting. There's 25 attorneys general in another state trying to get an injunction. So anyway, the fight is progressing. In the courts, at least.
Yeah, Aiden, Mark Cox here. Didn't I read where I know a couple of conservatives in the House had blocked votes for a couple of days, but they did finally all get back on the same page. And I read where the House of Representatives, for what it's worth, did pass legislation that would remove this ban on pistol braces. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's correct. So there was a little bit of a holdup in the House of Representatives on some backroom stuff, but our bill sponsor was able to work that out with congressional leadership, and the bill was brought to the floor this past week, and we just won. It was 218-210, and we actually had two Democrats vote for this bill to overturn the Biden pistol ban. So this bill, this action by the ATF to ban 40 million pistols is so outrageous that it ended up being a bipartisan vote to overturn it in the House of Representatives.
Well, thank
That's
goodness.
Amazing.
As it should be. I mean, here's the thing. I don't happen to own a gun that needs a pistol brace. But at the same time, every time we look at the people, the organizations and the individuals who are trying to ban weapons or ban accessories, they focus on things that aren't part of the problem. Right? I mean, when is the last time a mass shooting took place because the individual had a brace on the pistol that they're carrying? I don't remember when that happened. Why is this suddenly in the forefront of our political conversation here?
Well, insofar as a pistol brace firearm has ever been used in a crime, it's just because that was the firearm that they happened to steal or buy or obtain as far as the criminal is concerned.
Yeah.
Because a pistol brace doesn't make that firearm any more deadly than it already is. And all this rule says is you have to take that brace off and destroy it. And that actually makes the firearm more concealable because there's less plastic. There's nothing on the back end of the firearm. And so it's also really what it does is that it just makes it harder to control because there's no arm brace for you to use to stabilize that firearm. So taking it off doesn't actually address the lethality of any kind of firearm because they still shoot and they're still just as deadly as they were right before you took it off.
Well, there's a lot of gadgets that help you be more accurate as a shooter, and the pistol brace for some is that item, and somebody come up with it, and it you know turned out to be a great item for gun enthusiasts, especially the sports shooting, because it's just helping. It's like having a laser dot scope or sight on your firearm. It's just to help it be more accurate. Aiden, I'm going to sidestep just a second. Are pistol braces used in the military, and if so, would they be banned if they were to get their way?
You know, I don't believe that the military uses pistol brace weapons. I think that they would just put a what's known as a stock on it and have a short-barreled rifle. And I actually think it's your constitutional right to have that as well. I don't think there should be what's called the National Firearms Act of 1934 that regulates short-barreled rifles. And that's the law that Biden's trying to weaponize here. So I don't think that that law should exist, or that any kind of cosmetic restrictions on a firearm. Do you have a buttstock, or do you have a pistol brace? Is it a 16-inch barrel? Is it a 17-inch barrel? Is it a 15-inch barrel? I don't think it matters. I think it's your right to own that firearm.
I think that's a great point. And the NFA, to remind people, is the same one that requires you to have to jump through hoops, Bo, to get a suppressor, right? I mean, as if in the movies you think it makes your gun go, that's not what happens, right? We all know that have used them, and they somehow seem to think that if anybody could just go buy them, there would be more criminal activity. I mean, it's silly season in America. Aiden, let me have you clear something up for people who are listening, because I suspect there is confusion out there among people who've never owned a pistol brace or had a short-barreled pistol that they could have used one on. Describe what this looks like. Some of the ones I've seen, like, will fit over your forearm, and I think they were designed originally to help people who had some sort of disability and couldn't grip the gun normally, and then this was designed to fit like over your forearm, or you fit your arm through it to hold on to the gun. But not all of them, not all pistol braces are like that, correct?
That's correct. So they were originally designed to help a disabled, a combat wounded veteran shoot his firearm better. He got kicked off the range by a mean range safety officer who said he wasn't shooting his firearm safely because he couldn't control it. And so the inventor was upset at this treatment of the veteran and invented him a tool to help him hold his firearm with the one arm that he could use properly. And so it's basically, you can imagine a shotgun or a AR-15 or even at various types of commonly owned handguns like a Glock that has an attachment at the end that wraps around your wrist. And that's why it's called an arm stabilizing brace. And because it attaches to your hand and it allows you to hold that firearm with one hand and shoot it with one hand, and that's the very definition of a handgun or a pistol. So that was the invention of these. And like I said, they can fit onto shotguns, they can fit onto rifles, and they can fit onto what otherwise would look like a handgun just to help someone shoot better. But now that was invented, now that we said, okay, if you put this brace on it, it's considered a handgun. There's other kinds of things that gun owners have now gone to use them for. Like, for example, hunting seasons that are pistol only. You can take a bolt action rifle and you can instead turn it into a pistol, and you can use it during handgun only seasons. So these things have become common and widely used. The Congressional Research Service estimates there's between 10 and 40 million out there. I'm sure if you go to your local gun store, you'll probably see one, or you would have seen one pre-ban. They're that common.
Well, you guys are definitely the tip of the spear when defending Second Amendment rights and accessories of certainly what we're talking about here on this episode. Wanted to ask about gunowners.org and the money that goes in. I was in a conversation about a week ago with somebody that does support the Second Amendment, you know, has a collection and gets out to the range a lot. And he didn't know a lot about you. So I want to give you the floor to share with people how and why they should support Gun Owners of America. You being the Director of Federal Affairs, you're probably one of the best people to speak about that, because of course it's about creating a legion of fans of Second Amendment. How can we help you continue the fight?
So me being the Director of Federal Affairs, that's DC speak for. I'm our chief lobbyist, and Gun Owners of America is the only no compromise gun lobby in Washington, D.C. We've been around since 1976, and we've been advocating for your Second Amendment rights. What we believe that means is that your rights shall not be infringed. No gun laws, no gun control, no restrictions. The government does not have any authority to do that. And we fight not only in Congress, walking around, not only with the executive branch and these sort of ATF rules, but also we sue them in court. And that's our federal work. We also have a state and local department. So we have lobbyists in the state capitol, and we have, we do sort of a holistic approach. We're going to defend your rights at the federal level in Congress and in the courts, and also at the state level in your capitol and in the courts.
Yeah, and that's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap. But, you know, we don't spend our money on fancy suits or, big parties or anything like that. Your money goes directly towards our lawsuits, directly towards lobbying and pressuring these lawmakers into doing the right thing and protecting your rights.
Well, keep up the good work. I mean, I know whenever we cover these stories, regardless of the state, of course, Illinois jumps to the forefront because of this ridiculous...
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman
pew, pew.
Is right there. Yeah, buddy. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And if you're hearing the show before Father's Day, I would say get to Razorback Armory, the gun concierge. It's in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Get Dad a gift card or get him a cleaning kit or get him some ammo. He'll love that. Get them into Razorback Armory as soon as you possibly can. Tell them Bo sent you in. All right, we've got a returning guest here to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors because we've spoke about the Great Outdoors portion of the program already. Aiden Johnston returns. He's a St. Louis native and the Director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America. And we've got a lot to talk about because they're coming in hot after pistol braces. Aiden, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Talk to me about where we're at on the pistol braces. And, I know Texas is making the most noise against it. Is it a national fight, if you will?
Yes. So GOA filed a lawsuit alongside Texas, and we got an injunction, but it only applies to GOA members and employees of the state of Texas. So we're fighting to have that expanded to be a national injunction. I think that's really important. There are actually four other injunctions, and groups like the National Rifle Association are just now filing lawsuits to try to get their members protected as well. So it is all hands on deck. Every group is fighting. There's 25 attorneys general in another state trying to get an injunction. The fight is progressing. In the courts, at least.
Yeah, Aiden, Mark Cox here. Didn't I read where... I know a couple of conservatives in the House had blocked votes for a couple of days, but they did finally all get back on the same page. And I read where the House of Representatives, for what it's worth, did pass legislation that would remove this ban on pistol braces. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's correct. So there was a little bit of a holdup in the House of Representatives on some backroom stuff, but our bill sponsor was able to work that out with congressional leadership, and the bill was brought to the floor this past week, and we just won. It was 218 to 210, and we actually had two Democrats vote for this bill to overturn the Biden pistol ban. So this bill, this action by the ATF to ban 40 million pistols is so outrageous that it ended up being a bipartisan vote to overturn it in the House of Representatives.
Well, thank
That's
goodness.
Amazing.
As it should be. I mean, here's the thing. I don't happen to own a gun that needs a pistol brace, but at the same time, every time we look at the people, the organizations and the individuals who are trying to ban weapons or ban accessories, they focus on things that aren't part of the problem. Right? I mean, when is the last time a mass shooting took place because the individual had a brace on the pistol that they're carrying? I don't remember when that happened. Why is this suddenly in the forefront of our political conversation here?
Well, insofar as a pistol-braced firearm has ever been used in a crime, it's just because that was the firearm that they happened to steal or buy or obtain as far as the criminal is concerned.
Yeah.
Because a pistol brace doesn't make that firearm any more deadly than it already is. And all this rule says is you have to take that brace off and destroy it. And that actually makes the firearm more concealable because there's less plastic. There's nothing on the back end of the firearm. And so it's also really what it does is that it just makes it harder to control because there's no arm brace for you to right. use to stabilize that firearm. So taking it off doesn't actually address the lethality of any kind of firearm because they still shoot and they're still just as deadly as they were right before you took it off.
Well, there's a lot of gadgets that help you be more accurate as a shooter, and the pistol brace for some is that item. And somebody come up with it, and it you know turned out to be a great item for gun enthusiasts, especially the sports shooting, because it's just helping. It's like having a laser dot scope or sight on your firearm. It's just to help it be more accurate. Aiden, I'm going to sidestep just a second. Are pistol braces used in the military? And if so, would they be banned if they were to get their way?
You know, I don't believe that the military uses pistol brace weapons. I think that they would just put what's known as a stock on it and have a short-barreled rifle. And I actually think it's your constitutional right to have that as well. I don't think there should be what's called the National Firearms Act of 1934 that regulates short-barreled rifles. And that's the law that Biden's trying to weaponize here. So I don't think that that law should exist or that yeah. any kind of cosmetic restrictions on a firearm. Do you have a buttstock or do you have a pistol brace? Is it a 16-inch barrel? Is it a 17-inch barrel? Is it a 15-inch barrel? I don't think it matters. I think it's your right to own that firearm.
I think that's a great point. And the NFA, to remind people, is the same one that requires you to have to jump through hoops, Bo, to get a yes. suppressor, right? I mean, it, yes. As if in the movies you think it makes your gun go, that's not what happens, right? We all know that have used them, and they somehow seem to think that if anybody could just go buy them, that there would be more criminal activity. I mean, it's silly season in America. Aiden, let me have you clear something up for people who are listening, because I suspect there is confusion out there among people who've never owned a pistol brace or had a short-barreled pistol that they could have used one on. Describe what this looks like. Some of the ones I've seen like will fit over your forearm, and I think they were designed originally to help people who had some sort of disability and couldn't grip the gun normally, and then this was designed to fit like over your forearm, or you fit your arm through it to hold on to the gun. But not all pistol braces are like that, correct?
That's correct. So they were originally designed to help a disabled, a combat wounded veteran shoot his firearm better. He got kicked off the range by a mean range safety officer who said he wasn't shooting his firearm safely because he couldn't control it. And so the inventor was upset at this treatment of the veteran and invented him a tool to help him hold his firearm with the one arm that he could use properly. And so it's basically, you can imagine a shotgun or a AR-15 or even at various types of commonly owned handguns like a Glock that has an attachment at the end that wraps around your wrist. And that's why it's called an arm stabilizing brace. And because it attaches to your hand and it allows you to hold that firearm with one hand and shoot it with one hand, and that's the very definition of a handgun or a pistol. So that was the invention of these. And like I said, they can fit onto shotguns, they can fit onto rifles, and they can fit onto what otherwise would look like a handgun just to help someone shoot better. But now that was invented, now that we said, okay, if you put this brace on it, it's considered a handgun. There's other kinds of things that gun owners have now gone to use them for. Like, for example, hunting seasons that are pistol only. You can take a bolt action rifle and you can instead turn it into a pistol and you can use it during handgun only seasons. So these things have become common and widely used. The Congressional Research Service estimates there's between 10 and 40 million out there. I'm sure if you go to your local gun store, you'll probably see one, or you would have seen one pre-ban. They're that common.
Well, you guys are definitely the tip of the spear when defending Second Amendment rights and accessories of certainly what we're talking about here on this episode. Wanted to ask about gunowners.org and the money that goes in. I was in a conversation about a week ago with somebody that does support the Second Amendment, you know, has a collection and gets out to the range a lot. And he didn't know a lot about you. So I want to give you the floor to share with people how and why they should support Gun Owners of America. You being the Director of Federal Affairs, you're probably one of the best people to speak about that, because of course it's about creating a legion of fans of Second Amendment. How can we help you continue the fight?
Yeah, so me being the Director of Federal Affairs, that's DC speak for, I'm our chief lobbyist. And Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington, D.C. We've been around since 1976, and we've been advocating for your Second Amendment rights. What we believe that means is that your rights shall not be infringed. No gun laws, no gun control, no restrictions. The government does not have any authority to do that. And we fight not only in Congress, walking around, not only with the executive branch and these sort of ATF rules, but also we sue them in court. And that's our federal work. We also have a state and local department. So we have lobbyists in the state capitol, and we have, sort of a holistic approach. We're going to defend your rights at the federal level in Congress and in the courts, and also at the state level in your capitol and in the courts.
Yeah, and that's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap. But, you know, we don't spend our money on fancy suits or big parties or anything like that. Your money goes directly towards our lawsuits, directly towards lobbying and pressuring these lawmakers into doing the right thing and protecting your rights.
Well, keep up the good work. I mean, I know whenever we cover these stories, regardless of the state, of course, Illinois jumps to the forefront because of this ridiculous assault rifle, their words, not mine, ban that they put in place over there. I know GOA is right there at the front of that. And for example, that I know you are, just like me, disappointed that the Supreme Court wouldn't step in and put a temporary injunction on that law, because my thought is every single day somebody who wakes up in the state of Illinois as a United States citizen, that their Second Amendment right is being injured every single day because the governor of that state and the liberal legislators think they can violate the Second Amendment and ban an entire class of weapons.
Yeah, no, I mean, that assault weapons ban in Illinois is absolutely outrageous. We have our own lawsuit that is currently pending, and it has not reached the Supreme Court yet. The case that got denied was not our case. And, you know, I think that just speaks to why we're different organizations. And we're very proud of the quality of our work. I have high hopes for the Supreme Court and for our court case in particular. So hopefully we get another shot at that, and we're able to actually stop this assault weapons ban. We did win at the district court level in our case, and I think there was a few other groups that got combined into that, and the assault weapons ban was enjoined for a short period of time. But absolutely unconstitutional. We're going to keep fighting for your rights no matter what, and nothing like that. No state assault weapons ban, no federal assault weapons ban, from no executive action from Joe Biden is going to get in our way.
All right. Well, the fight continues. And Aiden, we always appreciate your time on our show, because all we're trying to do is, you know, share the information on how people can help with the fight. I mean, I feel like I'm at a loss, and I don't know, you know, what I can do. But I know that if I support the Gun Owners of America, you are going to be thinking and fighting for the things that I care about and I believe in, because I want to protect my family and my property as well. So thank you again for joining us. Please keep us informed and let folks know where they can find you online and help support you.
Thanks. Yeah, you can go to, like you said, gunowners.org. You can follow us on social media at gunowners. But I think it's most important for our members to know that we are a grassroots-based organization. So we communicate that information to you, and then you take action and hold members of Congress accountable. If you as an individual want to do something, the best thing you can do is get your senator's offices and your representative's office on speed dial and call them every time we tell you, you know, hey, they're going to hold up your bill, or hey, they're not going to push back against Joe Biden's assault of his ban, or this, that, and the other.
It's a great point. Aiden Johnson, when do you get back to St. Louis often? I know you're a native.
Oh, I was just in town for a wedding a couple weeks ago. Hopefully I'll be back a little bit later this year as well.
That's awesome. Hey, Aiden, great having you on. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Aiden Johnson there, St. Louis
native. Happy Father's Day if he's a father.
And
a
Gun Owners of America's Director of Federal Affairs. They really do good work. And by the way, I should have brought this up. He mentioned it once, but I don't know if it got lost in the conversation. If you have a pistol brace and you're worried about that, you need to go to Gun Owners and become a member. I think that was one of the ruling that was handed down protects people who are members of Gun Owners of America from prosecution while this thing works its way through the system. So that would be a good plan for you.
Yeah, they're actually protecting their supporters and their members. And
yes.
Forgot to wish him a happy Father's Day. I don't know if he is, but... yeah, Father's Day weekend. Can you believe it's here?
I can't. Happy Father's Day to
and
everyone
to
out there. Yeah, and to you.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, that's going to do it for this this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Thanks for being here, and hopefully you feel more enlightened after today's show, don't you, Bo?
I feel lighter, you know, with the carrot brats instead of the real brats. Have a good rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.